Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity once again, especially in this auspicious month of Ramadanul Mubarak, the month of the Quran, the month of purification, the month of tazkiyah, the month of charity. Well, we will be in a moment joined by one of our leading scholars in the country, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Idyas Sahib, Hafizahullah, inshallah, who is going to assist us by answering all your questions pertaining to Salah, to Zakah, to Hajj, whatever the question may be. Alhamdulillah, our dynamic scholar has taken up this challenge. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is also an author of many books, over 250 to 300 books. He has translated the entire Quran into simple English, which is available at the Al Ansar bookshop. And there are many other booklets that Hazrat Mufti Sahib has published. Right now, we would like to welcome onto the Make Up Your Mind Q&A session our dynamic scholar of Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Idyas Sahib, Hafizahullah, inshallah, who's going to be speaking to us about the three types of those who fast. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum, and welcome onto our program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, I'd like to thank you for taking this time, for being with us on the airwaves of Radio Al Ansar. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, perhaps if you could begin with this afternoon's session with the three types of those who fast. Hazrat Mufti Sahib.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman and making us Muslims and allowing us once again to fast in the month of Ramadan. Before we discuss the three types of people or three types of those who fast, in fact, these three types we get in Salat and also in Tahara and also in Hajj. First of all, we must understand that the purpose of Ibadat is to create obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Islamic system of living is based upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the Ibadat by the way of Salah, Zakah, Hajj. All these Ibadat are to create two qualities, basically. One, obedience to Allah, and secondly, to create the readiness to become obedient to Allah. Fasting, for example, a person, he will become obedient to Allah, but by fulfilling the commandments and injunctions of Allah, Rabbul Izzat, a person is prepared that inshallah any other commandments of Allah he is ready to fulfill. Now the first type of a fasting person is a very rare type, non-existent practically, because a man, a human being who has not received any message, any law, any divine commandment, then when he sits down and thinks carefully, he will realize that there are two qualities in him. One quality of animalism and another quality of malukut, the malaika. So these two qualities are constantly at loggerheads. Then this person who has received no inspiration, divine inspiration, he recognizes that he, in order to perfect himself as a human being, has to create hatred, nafrat, for the animalistic qualities in him. Then he has to look for a way, a method, a system whereby he can suppress the animal qualities in him. And the person will conclude, come to some solution that, and this will come after experience, trial and error, that by not eating and staying hungry, and by not drinking and staying thirsty, and by not having any relationship, then he's able to control himself, he's able to discipline the head and the heart. And this remedy he can bring and create a higher level of man. Now, for the acceptance for this type of fast, obviously a person has to totally abstain from rudeness, falsity, vulgarity, swearing, backbiting, gossiping, sin, bad acts, protect the tongue, the private parts, the limbs. Now it comes in the hadith in Bukhari that Allah does not require such a fast which has in it rudeness, falsity, vulgarity, sin, bad acts, gossiping and bad backbiting, etc. Then it is stated that the one who does not leave false speech and false works, Allah is not in need of his hunger or thirst or end thirst. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is baniyaz. Allah is independent. Allah Rabbul Izzat does not require our ibadat. We, the entire world, become Muslim and make the ibadat of Allah 24 hours a day does not increase or decrease the status, honor, dignity of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah does not go under any change. Allah does not require us. We require Allah. Allah is not in need of us. We are in need of Allah. Now the second type of fast keeper. The first type is very rare and practically non-existent, that a person self-concludes a way of reformation as a renaissance or spiritual upliftment. The second type of person who fasts is not obviously like the first and does not automatically recognize the benefits of fasting, but has full yaqeen, conviction, in the words of beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he fully understands this and believes in heart and mind that whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, that is truthful and I must adhere to it, I must follow it. Then he starts fasting. And subsequently, because he has put his faith in the words of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who describes the benefit of fasting, this person will witness the benefits and the fruits of fasting. Now this person, alhamdulillah, is a Muslim, a mu'min, and one who is righteous, practical, and one who is gaining nearness to Allah, proximity to Allah, one who is trying to fast, how is fasting supposed to be? This person is fasting, avoiding sin, acts of sin, speech, the harmful speech. He is not going to fight with anybody, quarrel with anybody. He is not going to deceive anybody. Anybody saying and quarreling with him, he'll say, I am the one who is fasting. And he will avoid gatherings of sin, places of vice. He will read Quran, keep his lips and tongue wet with the zikr of Allah, recite Durood Sharif in abundance, attach himself to the masjid, be regular in Taraweeh, attend the gatherings of the ulama, be amongst the ulama, and be amongst the righteous and pious, avoid backbiting and gossiping. This second type of person, he will try to do this, and placing his total yaqeen in the words of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the third type. Obviously, the third type of fasting person is not like the first, who recognizes by himself the benefits of fasting and how to control the animal qualities, nor like the second, who has yaqeen in the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this person who is neither inspired, nor can he be placing his full yaqeen in the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this person has faith in the unseen. Yukminuna bil ghaib. This person is classified Muslim. He falls under the category of a Muslim. And he is not a righteous Muslim. He is not a pious one. And by name he is Muslim. Come Ramadan, he fasts. And he is doing this, and Allah's mercy is on him even. Allah is merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath is not on this person totally, But this person just makes the fast. Unfortunately, he makes the fast and stays away from eating, drinking, and sexual relationship. But the rest, unfortunately, this person does. He loses his temper, becomes angry. He does not bother about his salah. He is not careful about tarawih. He is negligent about fulfilling the rights of others. He is completely one who is transgressing, disobedient, fighting and quarreling, gossiping and backbiting, engaged in sinful speech and actions. But his fast is valid. And because his fast is valid, he will be rewarded. Although he does not get the immediate benefits of fasting, he does not get discipline of animalism, he does not become a good character, having good personality, he does not have any noble qualities developed in the month of Ramadan, but in the Akhirat, he will be rewarded. He will be rewarded, as we will explain in the future programs, and he will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. We as Muslims should every year improve on our fasting, and we should become like a person of the second category, that we should be doing everything. Our mind should be fasting. No evil thoughts, no fantasies, and no things that will disturb us. Our heart free from malice, hatred, and free from pride and arrogance and stupidity, free from jealousy, and our limbs should be going in the right direction. Everything from head to toe reformation should take place via this fasting. Inshallah, tomorrow we will try to discuss the three basic purposes of fasting. Yeah.
Inshallah, JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. And I think to all the listeners, we still, today is the 11th day of Ramadan of Mubarak. We still have lots of time, inshallah, to improve on the quality of our fast, of our soul, and our siyam. Right now, we have online with us our scholar of Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. Inshallah, in a few minutes' time, we will ask you to call in. The studio number is 208-4564. 208-4564. If you're calling out of the Durban area, then the area code is 031. And inshallah, with our next Q&A session, Hazrat Mufti Sahib will then speak to us about the purpose of fasting. Right now, we will ask Hazrat Mufti Sahib just one question before we go for our ad break. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Yeah, I can hear you.
This one very short, I'm sure the answer is going to be quite short to this. It says that, I just want to know that if you are traveling from Durban to Johannesburg on business for one day, must you fast? Hazrat Mufti Sahib, your response to this?
We will discuss it, inshallah, in great detail later on, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commented about this, and the commentators have placed their relative notes. However, the person, although he is allowed to miss his fast because he is a traveler, he is one on journey, but the person should assess for himself that by my traveling in this age, and especially between Johannesburg or Durban, and this is a day-day trip, and obviously by aircraft, definitely this will be very easy and will not hamper my health, or it will not hamper my activities. Now, if it does not hamper his health, meaning it is not detrimental to his health or injure his physique or make him very weak, and then also it does not disturb his business activities, then definitely he should fast. However, if the person going on a journey feels that by this journey this will be strenuous, and it will make me tremendously weak, and I will not be able to fast easily, comfortably, provided sincerely it makes him weak or her weak, that the person can forego that fast and make the qaza later on.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, this fact is as follows. It says, that before my marriage, my mother-in-law insisted my husband and I to live on our own. Alhamdulillah, we have had a very happy marriage until now. My husband has now decided that he wants us to move in with his mother. He says it's his Islamic duty. I agreed to move but wanted my section to be separate where I could have some privacy. On discussion with my mother-in-law, she became verbally abusive. She told me that she doesn't want me to live with her. I am very hurt by her comments and remarks. My husband still insists on us moving. I know if I do move, I am going to be subjected to many such conflicts, which is going to result in unhappiness and strained relations between my husband and myself and my in-laws. What is the correct thing to do, Mufti Sahib, with regard to this matter?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I will just make one two basic statements, and then I will comment on the facts itself.
Okay.
Concerning facts of this nature, where we have domestic difficulties and problems, then the Mufti or any Mufti will comment on what is being presented. So, because obviously we do not have the second side of the story from the husband's side or the mother-in-law's side. However, what has been stated is unfortunately very common, that initially that the husband and wife live separately and live in harmony, and at times attending to the mother-in-law or the mother. Now we will hear advice very strongly and clearly to the husband that definitely he will get rewarded by caring for his mother, by financially aiding her, supporting her, by attending to her needs and necessities. But if he now takes his wife and begins to live together, there is bound to be differences, disputes, disharmony, non-cooperation, fighting and quarreling, as a result of which, unfortunately, many a time, because of this, the marriage itself breaks down. No one is saying that you should not aid, support your mother, but at the same time, you are living separately, happily, comfortably. You should do that so that you keep your wife happy and maintain your marriage in a cordial manner, but at the same time you should tend and attend to the needs and necessities and requirements of your mother. But by combining, by going over to your mother's house or combining them, definitely there is going to be difficulties arising, and unfortunately, out of experience, we are stating inevitably divorce and breakdown of the marriage results.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Right now we do have a caller online. We have Brother Sayyid online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Sayyid, welcome to our Make Up Your Mind Q&A session.
Jazakallah.
Brother Sayyid, you can go ahead with your question. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is listening to you.
Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My question is pertaining to itikaf. I would like to know what the do's and don'ts of itikaf.
JazakAllah, Brother
Sayyid.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the do's and don'ts of itikaf. I think people are already, inshallah, intending to sit in itikaf as we're getting closer to those days. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
As far as itikaf is concerned, first of all, we should realize something, that itikaf is a very noble ibadat. And in reality, it means to make intention to stay in the masjid for a certain duration. Now obviously we get various types of itikaf. I do not want to discuss the nafil type, the masnoon type, the wajib type. However, that the masnoon type is generally which Muslims do in the month of Ramadan, upon the sighting of the moon, upon the 21st night, commencing from the 21st night and terminating upon the sighting of the moon of Shawwal. Now, a person must know why he is doing the itikaf, and he must realize that he cannot leave the masjid. For example, he cannot leave the masjid for salat and janazah. He cannot leave the masjid to attend to the sick. It comes clear in the hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that a person who makes itikaf should know that he cannot go for i'adat al-mariz. He cannot go and make i'adat of the mariz, visit the sick, or go for salat and janazah. And the place of itikaf should be the masjid where five daily salat are taking place. Yes, he can go to fulfill his basic needs, for example, to urinate, to pass stool. If he has wajib ghusl of janabat, to go do that. If he wants to go and make wuzu, then he can do that. And he can, if he's a muezzin, then he can go and give the azan. And if Jummah Salat is not performed in that masjid, then he may go to another masjid where Jummah Salat is being performed. These are some of the basic things that he should worry. And the brother that has raised the question about itikaf, he raised a very important question, because unfortunately these days our masajids have become picnic areas, and the person sitting in itikaf, he got a cell phone, phoning his entire family. He should rather go away, leave the itikaf and sit with his wife, etc. Why is he wasting his time in the masjid with a cell phone, talking 4 hours at a time to his wife and children? Also, that people in itikaf sit and in the late night order out food. It becomes like a picnic. All food outlets are now getting supplying to Mu'takifin who are sitting there and having a party. Because the purpose of itikaf is to cut yourself away from locality, from people, from populace, from inhabitants, that so that you focus on Allah, akhirat, you will have some zikr and fikr, and you make yourself available only for ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah for that response, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. We have online our scholar of Sharia, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. If you do have any questions, the number to dial is 208-4564 out of the Durban area. Then the area code is 031. We do have an anonymous caller online. Anonymous, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I think we have lost that call. Altaf, yes, we have lost that call. Mufti Sahib, we just received an SMS. It says, with regard to a traveler, is it permissible to perform Qaza-i Umrah whilst on holiday under 10 days? Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the response to this?
Yes, it is absolutely permissible to perform Qaza-i Umrah. Qaza-i Umrah means that a person has missed out or left out Salat and now would like to make up that Salat. That Salat we call Qaza, and because it is of age, we call it and generally refer to it as Qaza-i Umrah. Now, that the person who goes on journey, she is allowed, in the light of Sharia, to render and perform the Qaza-i Umrah, irrespective of how long that journey, that is kilometer-wise, or how long, as far as duration also, number of days on journey, the person can perform Qaza-i Umrah comfortably.
JazakAllah. Mufti Sahib, does zakat have to be given in money, or can it be given in the form of food to an orphanage? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
If it is, first of all, zakat can be given in money, that means cash or kind. Secondly, that if you are giving it in kind, then do not give that which you are virtually discarding. Some people decide to give out zakat in kind, and all their absolutely non-usable dead stock, which is of no use to anybody, they decide to give in zakat. Remember that you should give in kind those items which are usable. No use giving those items which are not usable. When you give in kind, then you will give, for example, as in the question stated, you will give kind to the orphanage food, but not cooked. You will give uncooked.
Jazakallah. Right now it's 4:35. We have approximately 25 minutes for Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. The number to dial is 208-4564 out of the Durban area. The area code is 031. The next question, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the sister wants to know, what must she do with her old ihram that she's got in her possession? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Sometimes people, you find them in Mecca especially, that they are dipping their ihram in Zamzam. They decide that they are going to use it for kafan. It is absolutely permissible to do that, but a person should not have this belief that because my ihram is dipped in Zamzam, the ihram of the male or the female can be given to another person for usage. The ihram of the female, because it is normal civilian clothing, the person does not have to shelve it or keep it away and regard it as ornamental, but can use it on a day-to-day basis, and upon her desire give it out in charity also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. There is no such thing that you cannot reutilize or reuse the ihram, especially the ihram of the females. The male, he can donate or he can give his ihram to anyone of his choice who is going for Umrah or Hajj.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. We have Medina online. Medina, assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You can go ahead with your question for Mufti Sahib.
Okay, I want to know, Mufti Sahib, whether it's permissible for women to wear makeup while fasting. I mean, lipstick, eyeshadows, and any sort of makeup.
Jazakallah, sister, for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, I think it's a very common question from many of our sisters with regard to makeup and eyeshadow and all those things. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, what is the ruling on this?
First of all, the question, although it is posed regarding Ramadan, this question is supposed to be of general nature, let alone Ramadan, outside Ramadan, even whether it is permissible for ladies to wear makeup and eyeshadow, etc., and lipstick, and go out of their homes. Obviously, this is definitely not correct, and this leads to the doors of immorality, immodesty opening, and this unfortunately is for show, display, and this attracts the opposite gender, leading to fitna and facade in the already degenerated society. And it comes clear in the hadith that the one who applies these makeup and go out is under the snare and glare and sight of shaitan. Another hadith states that those who go out, the females who go out after applying these makeups and fragrance, etc., they have been classified in the light of the hadith as adulterous. So definitely they should avoid doing this, especially unfortunately because most of the ladies do not adorn the proper hijab that is covering the face, which is necessary in the light of the Sharia. All these makeups, etc., are permissible for the husband. The wife, she can adorn herself adequately, sufficiently, properly to attract her husband. Unfortunately, these days, the females are doing this to attract anybody and everybody. They themselves have, by their own action, lower their status, their dignity and position. And Islam is here to protect the dignity, honor, and status and position of the lady. As far as lipstick is concerned, if applied like lipstick and lip ice, and if they suck it, it goes down the throat, it will break the fast.
Jazakallah to our sister. I hope that answers your question. Right now, we do have an anonymous sister online who's been holding on for some time while being on the cell phone. Anonymous sister, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I have actually got two questions that I would like to ask the Mufti.
Go ahead.
One would be, if a person that discharges all her life, discharging, does it affect the namaz? Does it make her napak? And the other question is, if a husband and wife is intimate, does it make the bedding napak? Or what? Can you explain? Because I've actually heard from somebody that you automatically become napak with the beddings and so on. So please, can you explain a little bit about more of those two things? Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, sister. Thank you for calling in. Hazrat Mufti, sir. Hazrat Mufti, sir.
Can you repeat the second question that I'll ask about?
She says that when the husband and wife are intimate, does it make the bedding napak?
As far as that question is concerned, that if they have a relationship and the fluid, the sperm, falls upon the clothes onto the bedsheet, then definitely the bedsheet becomes impure. That area of the bedsheet becomes impure. If they wash that area, it is sufficient. Better to wash the whole bedsheet. As far as the white discharge and of these cases, then I suggest the caller contacts Hafizab, who will give Hafizab will give the lady my house number, and they can phone my house and talk to my wife in detail. This pertains to the masala for the ladies, and inshallah my wife will be able to help them adequately, inshallah.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Right now we have Sister Sharifa online. Sister Sharifa, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Sister Sharifa, you can go ahead with your question.
I want to know from the Mulana. I'm a widow and I live alone, and I do collect grants. I just want to know how much zakat do I have to pay, because I do also pay my rent here. So, I don't know how much zakat or fitra must I pay.
Okay, so just remain online, just if Mufti Sahib has got any further questions with regard to your question. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
She got jewelry.
Sister, do you have jewelry?
No, nothing. I'm just renting with some people.
Okay, Mufti Sahib will answer that. Jazakallah, Sister Sharifa.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the response to that?
As I understand, I think she will not have to pay zakat if she does not have zakat nisab, money equal to zakat nisab for the entire whole year, meaning one Islamic lunar year. That's plus minus 360 days. And the zakat nisab is 1,025 rand. So if she has got 1,025 rand cash in her case for the entire year, meaning for 12 Islamic months, then she will pay zakat. If she does not have 1,025 rand with her for 12 months, that she does not have to pay the zakat. Now, she may be getting a grant, and after her expenses, may she pay her rent, her water, lights, food, etc., all that will diminish her grant, and I'm sure that will not be leaving her with more than 1,025 rand. So if she has got less than that, 1,025, she does not have to pay. She got more than that for an entire Islamic lunar year, she'll pay.
JazakAllah. 4:47, this is Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. To our listeners, you could remain anonymous. You do not have to give us your name if you don't want to. Right now, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we've received an SMS. It says, is it permissible for me to operate a debt collection business? Hazrat Mufti sir?
It is absolutely permissible, provided you do not go killing people. Obviously, that generally when you see these adverts, and now we, because we come from the Gauteng area, you see these adverts in public now, there is someone owing you money, phone this person. And I have been informed that most of the time these people who go around collecting debt, they basically fit in the doors, they are so huge in size. Now, to collect a debt using permissible methods is permissible, and obviously the person can charge a fee, a reasonable fee, which can be agreed between the debt collector and for whom he is collecting the debt. And un-Islamic methods cannot be utilized in receiving or getting the debt.
JazakAllah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we do have an anonymous sister online. Anonymous sister, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister, you can go ahead with your question.
Mufti Sahib, what I'd like to know is, my question pertains to Tawafi Ziyara, which is one of the farz of Hajj. If you are in a state of haste, right, and say you had to make a Paksaf after 10 nights or the 11th day, and will your Tawafi Ziyara be accepted? Is it then counted? Supposing you are still bleeding, is your Tawafi Ziyara accepted? And supposing, my second question is, supposing you are still in a state of haste and you have to leave Makkah, what happens in that instant? I will listen on the air, is that fine?
JazakAllah, sister.
My dua for Mufti Sahib is, may Allah Ta'ala spare him long life, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. JazakAllah, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
As far as the first question is concerned, that the person was performing Hajj, and just before Tawaf Ziyara, that means on returning from Arafat, they began to experience haze, maturation period. Now the person will complete all other rites, all other rituals like the Jamarat stoning, etc., and wait in Makkah al-Mukarrama until purity is reached. Once she becomes pure, meaning Pak, then she obviously will know that her days are over, and she will take ghusl and go and perform the Tawaf Ziyara, and not forgetting the Safa Marwa, the Sa'i. Not forgetting the Sa'i, because that is part of the Tawaf Ziyara. The second question, that if a person is experiencing haze and cannot delay the flight, and the agent is saying, you have to leave, you have to leave, and if you do not leave, then we are not responsible for you, and threatened. However, the client, the Haji, should make every effort to postpone that flight. Failing which, when I say every effort, I mean every possible, probable effort to convince the agent, etc., to delay the flight, to get another booking. If that fails, then upon a ruling given by the Fiqh Academy, etc., that the lady will now take ghusl and put on the necessary protection methods, then go and make the Tawaf Ziyara and the Safa Marwa. But there is a penalty involved, a slaughter of a big animal, budna, which we term in Hajj, meaning slaughter of a camel, a cow, a camel or a cow or a buffalo.
JazakAllah. We'll interrupt this program. We have a very urgent announcement. Brickfield Road is blocked off due to a hold up near Marine Salvage Wholesalers. So to our listeners, if you are driving up that way or you want to enter into Brickfield Road, we inform you that Brickfield Road is blocked off due to a hold-up near Marine Salvage Wholesalers. Please keep this in mind. Right now, it's 4:52. We have Ismail online. Ismail, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I just got two questions.
You can go ahead.
But one, when you fasting, are we permitted to cut nails or have a haircut? And the second question is, when you are parked off and then when you have a bath, you remove your clothes, when you finish bath, are you still paf although you didn't go toilet, whatever? Or you have to make wuzu again after you dress up? I listen on air. Thank you.
Jazakallah, Ismail. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this is a very common question. Many people wanting to know whether you can clip your nails, whether you can have a haircut, and so on. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the response to this?
As far as a person when he is fasting, then he can tear the nails, clip the nails. That does not break the fast. A person who is fasting, he can also have a haircut. That will not invalidate the fast. Similarly, if a person is in the state of wuzu, the person cuts the nails would not break the wuzu. If a person has got wuzu and has a haircut, that does not break the wuzu. The second question, the person has a ghusl while fasting. Provided the ghusl is done properly, that there is no need for wuzu. Obviously, the part of the actions of ghusl are wuzu, so by making ghusl, the wuzu is automatically made, and the person after the ghusl, upon adorning his clothing, does not have to necessarily repeat the wuzu. It is sufficient. He can perform salah, he can do all those actions which are permissible whilst having wuzu, because this person has got something superior at this stage, that is ghusl, which is inclusive of wuzu.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this SMS reads as follows. Is it permissible to read 8 rakats tarawih? What is the minimum amount of rakats that can be performed while still gaining the thawab, the reward? Hazrat Mufti Sahib? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
The last question, because I'll have to speak a few minutes on it.
Jai, okay, Mufti Sahib.
Unless you want to go on, I got no problems.
Mufti Sahib, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. See, understand something. Tarawih Salat is 20 rakats sunnat muakkidah. And Tarawih, the quantity is 20 rakats. The word Tarawih, first of all, it is plural form. The singular is Tarwiha. Tarwiha means to rest after 4 rakats. That resting period, that pausing period, that is called tarwiha. Tarwihatain in Arabic is resting after 8. And tarawih is, as per dictionary meaning, to rest after 12. So those who are making 8 rakats and walk away, they have not made tarawih. They have made tarwihatain and went away home. And those who say no, Tarawih is 8 rakat are confusing the ahadiths of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking of Salatul Layl, that is 8 rakat which he used to perform throughout the entire year. We say that even we have got a hadith in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, who is the teacher of Imam Bukhari, there is a hadith clearly stating Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who is narrator, that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should make 20 rakats of tarawih and 3 rakats of witr. Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear that alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiin, that hold fast to my sunnat and the sunnat of the khulafai al-rashideen who are rightly guided. Now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who officially gathered all the Sahaba under the Sahabi and told them that make 20 rakats of Tarawih Salat in the masjid, no doubt make it a pocket Jamaat in the masjid. So, the fact I mentioned is sufficient, adequate proof for any Muslim that I love the Sahaba. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to follow the Sahaba and especially the Khulafa'i Rashidin, and Hazrat Umar has done the collective nature of Tarawih, and I should make 20 rakats. Now if a person is ailing, if a person is sick, if a person has got no strength, then that is different. he'll make as much as Tarawih as possible.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahib, we just received another SMS. It reads as follows. I'm a young married girl, just married recently. My husband told me that his mother and him are going for Hajj. I presumed automatically I would go with my husband, as this is what we planned before she told him to go. He told me that I can't go with them, as she doesn't want me to either, and he doesn't have to ask my permission, and he can do as he wants, and it has nothing to do with me. And let me go to the second part of the SMS. He doesn't have to be responsible for me. He said my father has to pay for me. I'd like to know what is your view of this, Hazrat Mufti sir?
As far as the husband saying that the wife's father has to pay for her, that is erroneous. He married the lady, it is his wife, he is the one responsible for her expenses, and now as the urf law, common law, that he is the one who is supposed to be funding her Hajj, and it is grossly unbecoming of this person here that now to leave behind his wife, he should take his mother and his wife, and if his father is alive, should do that also, and if there is someone, a nephew, etc., he should also take them, so that they can have two double rooms, etc., and make their journey as comfortable as possible. Unfortunately, many females have been oppressed due to the husbands thinking that it is their right to oppress their wives, suppress their wives, and treat them badly. Unfortunately, the husbands will be accountable in this world. They will see the results of being oppressive towards their wives, and on the day of judgment, I feel pity for them when they face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having oppressed those who were given under their control by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. To our listeners, unfortunately we have run out of time. We still have quite a few SMSs, quite a few questions on the computer screen, but inshallah we'll be back with you on Thursday for our next Q&A session. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we would like to thank you very much for being with us on the airwaves of Radio Al-Ansar for our Q&A program. JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum.